Good morning. My name is Chip Bowling. I'm a third-generation farmer operating a 1,400-acre grain farm, growing corn, soybeans, wheat, barley, and grain sorghum, only an hour's drive south of our nation's capital in Newburgh, Maryland. As someone who farms along the Chesapeake Bay, I know the importance of farming with high environmental standards, and I'm proud of the work we've done back home. I'm also proud to serve as president of the National Corn Growers Association, a national trade association that represents 42,000 dues-paying corn growers in the interest of more than 300,000 farmers who contribute through corn checkup programs in their states. NCJ's mission is simple: create and increase opportunities for corn growers, and that's what we did when we helped create the RFS. Of paramount importance to us right now is building demand for corn at a time when we're seeing record corn production. The drought of 2012, when corn production dropped by nearly 4 billion bushels and corn prices shot up, is a thing of the past. Back-to-back record crops in 2013 and 2014 have helped us refill our bins, but that came at a cost, with the price of corn right now below the cost of production. Put simply, our farmers are great at growing corn, and lots of it. We're seeing yields in our national corn yield contest that outpace the national average significantly, even at 500 bushels an acre, and while being more environmentally sound, sustainable, and efficient. That's nearly triple the USDA reported national average. So we need to be even smarter when it comes to building demand. While this is a much harder job, we're up to the task, focusing on corn for ethanol, exports, livestock feed, food, and new uses. As important part of this work, however, is protecting our existing markets, and that's why we're here today. We simply cannot afford and will not tolerate efforts to cut the demand for corn, and that's exactly what your proposal will do. We cannot let this stand. We've done our part, our allies in the ethanol industry have done their part, and it's time for the EPA to side with those of us supporting a domestic renewable fuel that's better for the environment. It's what your mission seeks to do. As I close, I'd like to remind you that our growers and allies sent a clear signal when the proposal of 2014 changes were first issued in 2013. Nearly 200,000 people responded to the EPA in public comment. Nearly 10,000 farmers contacted the White House directly. We've never before seen so much grassroots interest in a particular issue. This concern and activism continues today, as you can clearly see. We will raise our voices loud as necessary in defense of ethanol and the RFS. The many who came here today set aside important work back home. We should be home working. That's what we get paid to do. They're here because of what's at stake. They have seen the price they get for their grain go down and the cost of production go up. I stand with them and with the thousands who could not be here today to tell you one simple thing. Follow the law. Restore the proposed renewable volume obligations to the statutory amount so we can continue to grow a great renewable resource here at home. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bowling. Next up we have Mr. Sanborn. Jeff, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Sanborn and I'm a fourth generation farmer near Portland, Michigan. My great-grandfather grew up on a farm, my grandfather purchased the farm next to my farm in the 50s, and my dad continued farming until he passed away when I was in my early 20s. My passion for farming has led me to serve on both the Michigan and the National Corn Growers Association over the years. Today I serve as chair of the National Corn Growers Association Ethanol Committee. For America's corn farmers, ethanol has provided a critical boost and allowed us to help create a product that benefits consumers and communities like my hometown of Portland across the nation. The economic benefits of the renewable fuel standard have been enormous. The ethanol in Michigan is made in Michigan using corn from local farms like mine, helping provide a boost to the agriculture economy at a time when corn prices are below the cost of production. Across Michigan, the RFS is responsible for pumping more than $1.1 billion back into our communities and creating more than 22,000 good jobs, many of them in small towns. I've seen firsthand how the RFS has revitalized rural Michigan, and I know rural areas in other states across the country have similar stories. We also take pride in knowing that corn grown in Michigan goes to make a product that boosts our nation's energy security. Keep in mind, the RFS was originally created as part of our nation's response to 9/11. An effort to reduce our dependence on oil that comes from nations hostile to our freedom, our democracy, and our way of life. In that regard, the RFS has been an incredible success. Thanks to the RFS, more of our fuel comes from cornfields and ethanol facilities based in Michigan and across the nation, keeping economic benefits at home. And when farmers make a profit, they tend to spend it locally and do not send it overseas. In addition, the ethanol we help create is competition for the oil industry. It's bringing down prices and helping families save money at the pump. It's creating jobs and a cleaner environment in our state and across the nation. American-made ethanol provides incredible benefits for rural communities and consumers across the nation. The RFS lived up to its original intent as a policy to help the corn industry mature, and we can make even more progress in the years ahead. I keep getting more efficient at growing corn, and oil gets harder and harder to find. The RFS was never meant to limit ethanol to 10% of the fuel supply. It was meant to push higher blends of renewable fuel. Simple math will say, when the RFS was written, Congress's intent was to go much higher than 10%, closer to 25%. I am concerned that the current proposal by the EPA falls short of the maximum possible commitment in terms of gallons blended into our fuels under the RFS. I ask EPA to restore the RVOs for each year to the statutory amount and maintain a strong methodology for calculating the amounts of biofuels blended in the U.S. For those of us in rural Michigan and families across America, policymakers' decisions on the RFS have real impacts. Thanks for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Barber, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Martin Barbary. I'm a corn farmer from Carmi, Illinois, where I farm with my son, and I think you've heard a lot about farming with our sons so far. We grow field corn, white food grade corn, soybeans, seed soybeans, wheat, grain sorghum, and alfalfa. It's great to have my son farming, and building new markets for corn like ethanol helps farms have active roles for the next generation. I'm also proud to serve as chairman of the National Corn Growers Association. NCGA and its 48 affiliate state associations and checkoff organizations work together to help protect and advance corn growers' interests. In January of 2014, when I served as president of NCGA, I submitted our organization's comments on the EPA's earlier proposal regarding the RVO numbers and methodology for 2014. What I shared still holds true today. The RFS is an important tool in the nation's effort to achieve cleaner fuels. Since the enactment of RFS 2 in 2007, corn and corn ethanol production have increased in efficiencies and reduced greenhouse emissions faster than expected. At the same time, remarkably, the opposite has happened in the oil industry. Petroleum production practices have gotten worse, and I would also note I am involved in oil production as well, so I come from both sides. Until the EPA proposed changes to the renewable volume obligation for 2014, the RFS was doing exactly what it was intended to do, driving adoption of domestic renewable fuels alternatives to petroleum, supporting jobs across the country, and ensuring the United States remains a global leader in developing new renewable energy sources while decreasing greenhouse gas emissions here at home. The EPA's proposal threatens these outcomes. At the same time, we are extremely concerned about the methodology behind your decision. The EPA only has the authority to issue a waiver while reviewing the RVOs if either the RFS would cause severe economic harm to the economy or to the environment, or if there is an inadequate domestic supply. When it comes to ethanol, neither of these hold true. The so-called blend wall is coming down. E15 is becoming more and more available, now at hundreds of gas stations across the country, and we are working and investing in programs to expand its availability even further. We urge you not to penalize those of us who are doing our job, but to move quickly to ensure that the oil industry does its part to ensure that the infrastructure in place and renewable fuel is marketed as it's supposed to be. In fact, a report last year from the Renewable Fuels Association demonstrated clearly how the oil industry prevents and discourages retail gas stations from selling fuels with higher renewable content like E15 and E85. Unbranded or independent stations are roughly 4 to 6 times more likely to offer E85 and 40 times more likely to offer E15 than stations carrying a Big Five oil brand. We need to end this monopoly and continue our work to bring domestic renewable fuels to our gas tanks. Not only does our environment need renewable fuels, but consumers need the option at the pump to save their hard-earned dollars. While Big Oil argues that RINs have increased prices for consumers, their argument falls flat. RINs are free for refiners who purchase and blend required volumes of ethanol with gasoline. Only those refiners who blatantly refuse to blend required ethanol volumes have a need to buy RINs on the open market. And in the highly competitive gasoline marketplace, there is no way they can pass those costs on to consumers and remain competitive. RINs are what makes the RFS work, driving infrastructure investment just as designed by Congress, and the proof is in the significant decline in RIN prices following your announcement in May. We urge the agency to restore the RVOs to statute and support this important piece of transformational energy policy. The continued health of the real economy and the nation's environment hinges upon your decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much.